We'd like to find Luke chapter 8 today. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. Before we do that, we'll just pray, shall we? Ask for God's help. Father, in your goodness and grace, you directed our feet here today and you've allowed us to turn aside from all the distractions, the noise, and the desires of the world to seek you out. So we are seeking you, Lord, and could you promise that those that seek you with humble, contrite hearts will find you? May we sense you amongst us today, Lord. May you take hold of us, change us, and go home with us. Help us now, Father. Open our eyes and our understanding as we look into your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'd like to find that reading, if you haven't got it. And before I actually start, I just want to make one observation, which has nothing to do with the sermon, actually. When people say to you they'd like to go to hell because it's a whooping place, it's where the party is, you know, it's where all the women wine and song is because heaven's going to be boring, then ask them this question. Why is it in verse 31 of Luke chapter 8 that even the demons would rather go anywhere but back there? They beg Jesus not to send them back to the bottomless pit. Remember that verse when people say they would prefer to go to hell. If it's such a cracking place, then why doesn't Satan's demons go back there? Okay, we're looking at the feet of Jesus today. That's where I want to be. Always, every day, every week, every year of my life. That's where I want to be, at the feet of Jesus. It's the only place that makes any sense of anything. It's where I want to be. Is it where you want to be? Whose feet did you sit at? And believe it or not, and atheists and those who are indifferent will deny it, but they sit at the feet of someone. They're taking in something from somewhere. They're being influenced by someone or something from somewhere. And if you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus and being influenced and loved and taking him in, then you're going to be taking in something that's not part of the kingdom of God. In other words, if you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, directly or indirectly, without you even knowing it, no matter how well disguised it is, if you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, then you're sitting at the feet of Satan and the kingdom of darkness. You're drinking in what the world offers you, and everything that Satan feeds into the world, drip feeds every day, all its thoughts, its agenda, its thinking, its self-righteousness, everything. You're sitting at the feet of Satan, and whether you're aware of that or not. So you're sitting at somebody's feet. Whose feet are you sitting at? Now just think about those feet of Jesus for a moment. Baby feet, caressed by an adoring mother in the manger, probably rubbing on a baby lotion or whatever they had in those days. Feet that tottered around a carpenter's shop when he was a toddler. Feet that stepped into the River Jordan when he was baptized and stood on the ground. Feet standing on a hillside, preaching. Feet that walked 1,000 miles to heal people, to heal the sick. Feet that walked on water just as easily as they walked on dusty roads and streets. Think of those feet that didn't run as his accusers approached, but stood their ground. Think of those feet that walked up the hill called Calvary to the place of the skull called Golgotha to be crucified on a cross. Those feet would then be shattered by a rolling now, but those feet would stand up and rise in triumph at the resurrection, as he said he would, and by that fact his feet has crushed Satan and his kingdom and gained the victory over the worst shock that Satan could bring about, death. Those feet have crushed Satan and death. Those feet reign triumphant as Saviour. What glorious feet. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? Well, we're going to be jumping around a bit today, looking at various passages. I'll read them to you, so you needn't worry about trying to find them. But first and foremost, we think about the reading that we had just now about this demon-possessed man. There were many demons possessing this man, and there was a lot of demon activity at the time when Jesus was walking the earth for those 33 years, but especially when he set out on his ministry. Satan was really pulling out all the stops and trying to mess things up as much as possible. So there's an increased amount of demonic activity going on as the very presence of God himself walks amongst them. And he doesn't like it. You've invaded his domain, Jesus, or what he thinks is his domain. So there's a lot of demonic activity. But listen, why should we sit at the feet of Jesus? Why should you have your life spent drinking in and being influenced by Jesus, by, in a figure of speech, sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in everything he says, living in him for him? Why? Because it's the only place of sanity, frankly, in an insane world. And it is insane. You don't even look around you. We just don't get it, do we? We go up against God, we break all these laws about how we should live, how we should marry, how we should go about things. But we want to do it our way, we want to keep God away, don't interfere. And we end up with mess and stress and disorder. I mean, are we really evolving? I don't think so. Talk about the emperor's clothes. But we'd like to kid ourselves if that's the case. I was reading something the other day on the internet, a news item. They discovered a bird. Now it's, alright, this bird, for whatever reason, has mated with another bird of the same species, but it seems to have developed a different species, a different design. It's a new species of the same kind of bird, basically. It looked like a starling to me, but I can't remember what it was called. So it's a different kind of starling. And on the basis of their all waving around in great excitement, and this is what Darwin's theory was all about, you know, evolution changing and developing. It's in action, and they're all excited. And I thought, just a minute. This is still a bird. It's still a starling. It might be a different type of starling. It's still got a beak. It's still got claws. It hasn't got toes. It hasn't got gills. Insanity. We will clutch at straws and believe what we want to believe in. Never mind the historical scientific facts that God gives us in Genesis. Oh, you can't have that. We'll lock that off as myth. Really. Really. A world of insanity. You expect me to believe all these fairy stories and science fiction? Evolution? Big Bang? I mean, if Big Bang really happened, how comes all the planets are perfectly round and they're not jagged rock? Insane. Insanity. We'll clutch at straws. We'll have anything. Give us anything. But Jesus, keep him out of it. We don't want him interfering in our lives. The problem is, you see, because we're so rebellious and so sinful and so stupid, and our eyes and our minds and our hearts have been darkened ever since our first parents sinned, we do not understand that a holy God says no so that he can say yes. If we do things his way, then there will be peace and order and blessing. But because we insist on going our own way, we see disorder and dis-ease everywhere in society and in the world. There will be no world peace until hearts are changed and people bend the knee to Jesus. It's not going to happen. Waste of time having a day of prayer for world peace. It's not going to happen until the gospel is preached and hearts and minds are changed. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? It's the only place of sanity. This man knew immediately when he was changed and he felt the difference and he understood he was in the presence of God. And he doesn't want to be anywhere else. He wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. He was there. We read later on in verse 35, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully in his clothes and perfectly sane. Somebody's obviously gotten some clothes from somewhere, I don't know where he got them from. I don't think it was a Marks & Spencer's around that part of the world at the time, but he was clothed. There had been some time for him to clean himself up, get himself in order, and he was going to sit at the feet of Jesus, and I'm not going anywhere else. I am not going anywhere else. I've been to the promised land of Satan. I've been there, and it's madness. It's insanity. It's crazy. It's so crazy, I could be a boy this week, a girl next week, and anything I like the week after, depending on what the word is. Yeah, you can be a giraffe if you like. I'm standing at the feet of Jesus. Here is peace and order and sanity. Doesn't want to leave. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? It's the only place of light and truth and meaning. Jesus said, and I quote, John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, God, except through me. There you are, that's Jesus said that. That makes Christianity and Jesus Christ pretty exclusive, not all inclusive. That means all roads do not lead to God. That means that it's about Jesus. Way, truth, life. It's all found in him. Not Allah, not Buddha, not Dalai Lama or anybody else. This man says, I'm not leaving him. I'm not leaving, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow Jesus in the way. He's cleaned me up. He's got rid of the demons. And I have a new heart, a new life, and a new meaning. I see, I understand. This is the Son of God. He's taken away my sin and all my demons. What demons have you got? What plagues you? There are many things. If you're not in the kingdom of light and sitting at the feet of Jesus, there will be many distractions in your heart and life. Satan will pull out all the plugs and he'll make them look very reasonable and very plausible to keep you away from Jesus and the truth of his word and his gospel. Oh, you know, we're going to go and hand out invitations in the next week or two for our carol service, where people will come and join that friendship and they can hear about why God went through all this trouble. And you're going to get time after time people say, oh, well, we're too busy, we can't fit it in, and we've got all this, you know, and I've got my own church, and I've got this, and I think I'm all right, you know, excuses, diversions, they're distracted by many things, except the most important thing. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where will you end up? But the feet of Jesus is the only place of sanity. The only place you're going to find meaning. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? It's the only place of pardon. Let me read to you in Luke chapter 7. You can flick back a page or two if you want to follow it. Luke chapter 7 verse 36. One of the Pharisees, one of the Jewish leaders, for whatever reason, asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. And then Jesus has this discussion with the Pharisee because he's thinking of himself. And, you know, I mean, women have a second-class position in those days, but a woman, an immoral woman, that would have been anything from an out-and-out prostitute to a woman who was, how can we put it, a bit free with the favours. And no self-respecting Jew would be touching this woman, or at least not in public, being seen with her. Whether they visited her at door at night time wouldn't surprise me, because they were all hypocrites. So he has this discussion, Jesus. But then he says in verses 47 and 48, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins but God? Precisely. Jesus said to her, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. How comes? Because she had expensive perfume? No. Because she had a very elaborate, well-crafted alabaster jar? No. These would have been highly expensive items in themselves. Because she has heard the gospel that Jesus can forgive and save and change and give meaning to your life, and you can find peace and surrender and security with Jesus, and you can be sure about it and know it and feel it and sense it and have a home in heaven. She's heard all this from Jesus. She's listened to Jesus. She's repented of her sin. She's left the old life and she's turned toward Jesus. And she is so grateful, she is so sorry for her sin and her life of sin, she is seeking to show her love and her genuine repentance to Jesus. And she doesn't care what other people think. She doesn't care. It is that deep and profound in her. Her longing to be at the feet of Jesus is so great, she couldn't care less what other people think. I must get to Jesus. And I must fall at his feet. And I will pour out my heart. And she doesn't say a word. Not a word. But Jesus knows her life. He knows her inside out. He knows your life. He knows you inside out. He saw you set off this morning. It's him who directed your footsteps here, for whatever reason. He created the circumstances. Would you, like this woman, do anything, no matter what it costs? To get to the feet of Jesus? Or you like the young romantic? I love you more than anything, my darling. I'll climb 1,000 hills to get to you. I'll swim a crocodile river to get to you. And I'll be around next Tuesday if it's not raining. How serious are you about getting to Jesus? This woman doesn't care. She's got it for her heart life. She wants her heart life. She's heard of Jesus. She heard what he said. And she's seeking him with all her heart. And she's really sorrowful for her life of sin. And she wants it to end. She wants to walk away from that. That's repentance. She wants to leave that old life behind. She wants a new life, a new heart in Jesus. She wants her sins taken away. She wants to be transformed. She wants God in her. She wants to sense him and feel him. She wants to be the real deal. She wants the real thing. She just doesn't want to tick boxes and have a bit of religion and a little bit of a service and a little pat on the head and off you go. She wants the real thing. I am the way, the truth and the life. She wants the way. She wants the pathway of truth and life. She wants the life. Real life. Deep satisfaction and contentment. Not queuing up at the confectioners every week, trying to get a lottery ticket, I think it's going to change everything. She wants the truth. She wants to know who she can absolutely believe in and trust in. Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So she's there. She doesn't care what anybody else thinks. She's pouring out her heart. And Jesus sees into her heart. He sees into your heart this morning. Oh, you can come here with a mask. You can smile and say, how are you doing? Like we do when we're English, you know. How are you? Don't go on too long because they'll switch off. What they mean is, hello. But Jesus knows the real you. He knows what's hurting. He knows what's going on in your life. He knew all about this woman. It's a place of pardon at the feet of Jesus, you know. No matter what your hurts are, no matter what your pains, your disappointments, your confusions, there is chaos out there. Politicians promising you the world, philosophers, atheists telling you it's all a bunch of lies, and what do they offer you? Well, what do they offer you? What's on offer? According to Richard Dawkins, you're a gene bank, and all you exist for is to pass your genes on to the next generation. That's all you are. You're a gene bank. You're a walking gene bank. Well, thanks, Richard. That makes me feel really great. That makes life really worthwhile. That's it. You want to find real meaning? You want to find forgiveness and healing and pardon? Your bruising, your hurting, your confusion. He can deal with that. He will come in, literally. He will come in. If you hand over your heart and your soul and your sins to him, he will pardon you. He will give you a new heart and a new life. He will take away your sin. He will make you right with God. He will break down the wall of separation between you and God, and he will make the way open for you, and you will come to heaven. You can know that today. You can know for sure today that you're going to go to heaven and be with God. If you have pardon. But you must come and bow down at the feet of Jesus. It's no good coming with your ideas and your self-righteousness and your box-ticking performance. Been there, done that. Did an hour at our series three. God must be pleased with me. No, he's not. Getting to heaven isn't a performance-related religion. Getting to heaven is a faith in Jesus Christ. It changes heart and it changes life. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? Because it's a place of compassion. Matthew 9. Jesus many times preached to large crowds. And they came, they walked for miles to listen to Jesus. Many of them just wanted to see the miracles and see where the next handout was coming from. But there was probably a few of them who were genuinely wanted to know and find out the things of God. They would walk for miles. Would you walk for miles? How far have you travelled this morning to listen to God's word? But we read this in Matthew 9 verses 35 and 36. Jesus travelled through all the towns and villages of that area. And there's a lot of towns and villages. But he went through them all. Teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news, the gospel, about the kingdom. The kingdom of lights, the kingdom of Jesus. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. That's an adult. Okay, his first and primary mission was to preach and to teach and to bring people to faith and bring them into the kingdom. The healing and all the miracles, that was secondary, just to give a bit of authority to what he was saying, if you like. He healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd, which they were. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, for the most part, not all of them, but the vast majority of them, were just self-righteous hypocrites who are only concerned with to get people's attention, adoration of Christ. They would stand on the street corners and pray for their lands, and people would say, oh, aren't they holy? What wonderful men they are. And Jesus said, well, they've got their reward. They've got their reward. They've got what they want. The praise and adoration of people. And one day they're going to die, and the people are going to die, and they're going to appear before God. And you've got eternity to come. What good is all that then? And all the celebrities and all the glitz of all the world revelling in it. What good are you going to do? You're going to die one day soon, and you're going to appear before God, and then comes eternity. What good is all this now? It's plastic and it's tinsel and it's baubles and it's celebrities. You know, I keep hearing in the news, on the TV and the radio, I don't know, this so-and-so celebrity is now doing Get Me Out of Here, I'm a Celebrity. I think, who is this person? I've never heard of them. Who are they? They're nobodies. Who are they? Apparently they're some kind of big noise in a celebrity world. I've never even heard of them. All this navel-gazing. It's pathetic. It's pitiful if it wasn't so tragic. They're sitting at the feet of Satan, drinking in his drip feed. Just don't sit at the feet of Jesus. He just wants to keep you away. Yeah, have a bit of celebrity trash. Yeah, that'll keep you amused. Have a bit of something else. That'll keep you amused. Anything. But Jesus looks on us and he sees us for what we are. Confused, helpless, sheep without a shepherd. Who's going to show you the truth? Who can you actually trust? Politics. The jam is always arriving. It's been arriving for 50 years since I started voting, but it never seems to turn up. There's a jam bank somewhere that's mildewed, because I'm not getting it. Philosophers, atheists, sociologists, everyone's getting better. All you need is love. Yeah, sure. If it's so easy, why isn't everybody doing it? Because they can't. Even if we wanted to, we can't until our hearts have changed. And you sit at the feet of Jesus. And you drink in what he says, and you believe in him, and you hand over your soul and your sin to him, and he gives you a new heart. Jesus had compassion on these people. There were probably all kinds of misfits, all kinds of people turning up to hear him. And he knew them, every one. He knows everything. Do you know that? God knows every soul on this planet. Do you know that? I don't care if it's Richard Dawkins or you. He knows you inside out. He is your God. He is your creator. You breathe his air, you drink his water. And he's got you locked. He knows all about you. There were many misfits. Some doubters, perhaps. Outcasts. Religious people. But he knew them all. And he looked on them, and he pitied them, and he had compassion on them. What about you? You think he doesn't know about you? You think he doesn't know about you? And Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He knows all about you and your issues. But listen, nothing's going to make sense. There's going to be no peace, satisfaction, or deep down contentment and joy. There's going to be no meaning in your life. There's going to be no hope beyond the grave. No sure hope. Until you sit at the feet of Jesus. He knows. You haven't got to tell him all your dirty washing. He knows. He knows every detail. The secret things that go on in here. The things you say and think. While shaking my hand and smiling, and you're saying, God, you are bald, aren't you? And I said, God, you're ugly. You're wearing that shirt with that jacket? Boy, what have you got fat? Or whatever it is. And when somebody changes you and you say, that's okay, and you think to yourself, I'll kill you later on. He knows all that. He knows all that. He knows everything about you. He knows those days when you get up and you don't know yourself. Do you get days like that? I've got a block days. You feel like a block. Okay, I get block days. And it takes about 3 cups of coffee to sort it out, apart from God, of course. Well, God understands you more than you understand yourself. He walks amongst the corridors of the archives of your brain. There is no filing cabinet in here that he hasn't gone through. He knows you don't. And yet he's still, in spite of all that, in spite of all that, he knows all your dirty washing and all your filth and all your secrets, all your doubts, all your fears, all your hurts. He knows all that. And yet he still comes to you, Jesus. He still comes to you. So come and sit up next to me. Come, you come to me, Jesus. We'll sort that out. Who else would do that for you? Who else would have you, no matter what you are, in all our filthy rags, spiritually speaking? Who else would do that? Well, Jesus does. The Son of God does. What a Savior. What a God. That he should go to that much trouble for the likes of you and me, I find it incredible. So it's a place of compassion. Come and sit at the feet of Jesus. It's a place of sanity. It's a place of peace and blessing. It's a place of pardon. It's a place of compassion. And it's a place of learning. It's a place of learning. If you'd like to flick over a few pages, if you want, Luke chapter 10. Don't worry if you can't find it. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We'll read these words. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. This is a different Mary, by the way. Okay, so the sister, Mary, is sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he talks. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She's flustered. She's put out. She comes to Jesus. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here when I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, what would you say to her? What would you say? Oh, shout out and get on with it. My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is a place of learning. Now, dear Mary, bless her. She wants everything to be just so, okay? She's got all the pirate's dishes out, she's got the best crockery out, okay? She's got the bone china to set out, and she's got the roast on and everything. Oh, Mary, plate of cheese sandwiches would have done the job. Bless your heart. You know, a bowl of soup would have done the job, and some rolls. Bless your heart. Come and sit down at the feet of Jesus. How many times are you going to have the opportunity, Mary, to sit and have a personal one-to-one with Jesus? Martha. But Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. She knows what's important. She's taken up with Jesus. She's mesmerized by Jesus. She's hungry for Jesus. She wants the life. She wants the light. She wants the power. She wants the truth. She wants the meaning. She wants it all to come in and sink into her and change her. She wants to be saturated with the truth of Jesus. She wants her heart, her mind, her soul to be saturated with the Spirit of Jesus. And hungry or not, she's just taken up with this. Now it's nice to have something to eat and a nice meal, you know, but you know, a few saucy drums would have done the job. Bless your heart, Martha. You didn't have to go to all this trouble. as a place of learning. When you discover Jesus, when he discovers you, when he's entered into your heart and life, you hunger for him, you want him, you want to be at his feet. Listen, yes, other things have got to be done. But as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. These other things will find their own way. Because if you don't put Jesus first in your heart and life, and you don't give him priority, then everything else is going to become fractious. Barren and unsatisfying unless you first sit at the feet of Jesus and you learn from him. Drink in what he says, let him feed you, let him nourish you, let your soul be cleansed and made holy and come closer and closer to God. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? Because it's the place of learning. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? It's the place of compassion. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? It's the place of pardon for the truly repentant, humble soul. Why sit at the feet of Jesus? It's the place of sanity in an insane world which will believe anything and everything rather than what God tells. And as Jesus said to Martha, there is only one thing worth being concerned about, the kingdom of God. Are you a member of it? Have you discovered it? Have you come to Jesus and handed over your heart and life to him and become a member of the kingdom of God? You can today, and you can rest assured that you're going to go to be with him for eternity. And that everything else is just so much baubles and plastic and tinsels and meaningless, frivolous. Real meaning is found with Jesus. Real meaning. Well, look, there's good news for you. Okay, take hold. Take hold. He's seeking you out this morning. Don't ask me why. He sought me out when I was 16. That's a long time ago. I won't show how many years. But he sought me out. And he put his hand on my shoulders and said, just a minute, sunshine. You're not right with God. Unless you come into me and into the kingdom of Christ and into the kingdom of heaven, you're bound to hell. That's the bottom line. You're still sitting at the feet of Satan. No matter how it's dressed up, how respectable and nice it looks, it's a camouflage, okay? Satan's got everybody walking around, dead men walking, they're all comatose. They're in the kingdom of darkness, sitting at the feet of Satan. And Jesus puts his hand on you this morning and says, you come to me. Never mind the noise, never mind the distractions. Never mind, you know, we've got the truth, they've got the truth, I've got the truth. Come to my church, come to my denomination, come to my... Never mind all that, says Jesus. You come to me. I am, says Jesus. I am. I am meaning. I am truth. I am life. I am Creator God. I am everything. I am the only point of reference that makes any sense and where you're going to find any love and compassion. I am your teacher. I will show you yourself and your heart and your life. And I will show you myself. And you will want more of me, less of self. And that will be lovely to you. It will be like honey to your soul, tasty, nourishing, reviving, refreshing. That's what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. You read in Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, the name he gave himself. What a humble Saviour that he's prepared to identify with sinners like you and me, although he wasn't a sinner, of course, but he identifies with helpless, hapless sheep like you and me. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Do you know you're lost? Do you know it? Without Jesus Christ, lost today, lost for all eternity, still at the feet of Satan, and if you stay there, you're going to end up with those demons who were chucked out at the beginning, back down into the abyss prepared by God, hell. That's the bad news, but there's so much good news. Why would you choose that? You come to me, says Jesus. There's life and light, pardon, compassion, truth, meaning, purpose. I come to seek and to save you. And I'm here this morning, says Jesus. I would seek you out. And if you are willing, if you will surrender all your sin and hand it over to me and seek my forgiveness, you will find it. And I will give you a new heart and a new life. That's the promise of Jesus. That's the promise of Jesus. Nowhere else, no one else, will you find sitting at the feet of Jesus will give you everything that sitting at the feet of anyone or anything else cannot possibly give you. Peace. A home in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Lord, like the woman in the Gospels, we would kiss the feet of Jesus with our tears. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are prepared to go through so much for me, that you are prepared to put up with so much for us to win my poor, wretched heart and soul. Why you should love me that much, I will never know until I get to heaven. But we are so grateful that you did, Lord. We worship you. We kiss the feet. And we wouldn't be anywhere else. Help us to surrender our hearts and lives and souls and our sin. Make us sit at the feet of Jesus. And clothe us in our right minds. The mind of Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.